SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. You know, come to Louisville, keep an eye out for all kinds of things. And I guess I was watching after we got off the air, and it sure seemed like there was some sort of a beauty pageant or something going on, because every time I looked up, I saw something about Miss Kentucky Derby. I'll give you time to laugh or throw something at the radio. Gronkowski to Miss Kentucky Derby. Quip to Miss Kentucky Derby. In very rapid fashion yesterday, the field morphed 10% of your field to 20. As we were getting off the air, Jay Pribman circulating the news that Quip will bypass the Derby and point instead for Preakness. And Rudolph Brissette certainly appreciate, and you could tell by Elliot Walden's comments, that they appreciated at Windstar his prudent approach and being frank and saying that the horse could use the extra 2 weeks coming out of the Arkansas Derby. And, you know, this does bring into question yet another aspect. Remind me to at some point come back to this, that we talked about the grade two, grade one scenario regarding the prep season and how Quip was scheduled and was expected to participate in the Bluegrass and then took the extra week to go for the grade one in Arkansas. Well, that extra week seeking out the grade one ends up impacting, and sure, there's other factors that could have come into play, but you do wonder. And Windstar is flush with Derby participants, that's not a problem, considering that they've got Audible and Noble Indy and Justify that they're involved in, and they bred Bolt Doro. But it does bring, again, into play that grade one, grade two discussion we had about the Bluegrass and the Wood having to, play to some degree second fiddle to the other grade one penultimate prep starts and how it affects decisions. Anyway, Quip, look for him in Baltimore. And look for Florent Giroux. It hasn't been announced unless it's happened in the last hour, but Todd Pletcher, it appears, and the Windstar team will, you would have to expect that Noble Indy, that Florent Giroux becomes the leading candidate and to ride. And the leading candidate up till the news yesterday seemed to be Tyler Gaffalione, who rode him to his maiden victory, Noble Indy, and you kind of thought he had the inside track. You would think that with Windstar extracting Quip and leaving Doug Bradar and Florent Giroux without a mount, that he'll get on board the other horse that Windstar has a hand in. That would make sense. We'll see. That seems to be the dot connection that is happening. Then, of course, after we had opened the show yesterday, exactly 24 hours ago, with the Gronkowski concerns, the specifics of the setback came into focus. Started with a temperature spiking and then evaluation, something of an infection coursing through the blood of Gronkowski and antibiotics and game over. As opposed to human Gronk, who gets to jump up into the end zone as the pass falls incomplete and the Eagles celebrate. That was a full 60 minutes. This game gets called for Gronkowski before the clock even starts. The gun has gone off. Gronkowski, and this has set off another round as Nick Luck hinted at yesterday, that Nick was aware of and kind of quizzically observing the debate about Gronkowski and his presence potentially in the Derby and what it, you know, what it meant, so forth. I saw further discussion, but Rob Gronkowski disappointed, and I may have retweeted it. He had for a guy that's been involved in the sport for 10 minutes, he had a pretty insightful tweet about it, and he said, "Whatever's best for the horse, I'm for, and looking forward to the time, you know, he gets back on the racetrack, etc." I thought that was whether somebody, you know, expressed that to him, but or if he just naturally understood, you know, being an athlete. You know, we talk about the equine athlete. Well, he can understand. So that news, after combatant had been confirmed in as the replacement for Quip coming out at noon, by the end of the day, instilled regard. Larry Best, who very well may be in action today down at OBS, we'll talk in a little bit to Joe Nevels of the Daily Racing Forum. We'll preview the OBS sale and, of course, 6 days of Breeze shows that concluded on Saturday, and a lot of top bloodstock trade types are assembled. The weather here, by the way, again today, lousy, and it put a damper, literally, on the training session for Oaks and Derby horses. But the weather yesterday, I saw from Ocala, it was teeming down rain, and that makes it hard for people to go and visit horses and watch them walk and so forth. So that a little bit of a complicating factor. But we'll check in with Joe. We'll get his hips to watch and see what to expect. And, of course, they got some very big numbers at OBS to try to equalize. I don't know. We'll see what Joe thinks. And, of course, many of the participants from every perspective down at OBS headed here, including Gary Young. Gary will be here Friday, and Gary looking to probably score a couple of horses for Eclipse and so forth. So we'll be plugged in. 10:30 each of the 4 days, today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, at the Ocala Breeder Sales Company, the April sale, and this has been a very productive sale, so we'll talk to Joe in a little bit, but the reference to Larry Best and his OXO, OXO Equine, originally maybe 2-3 weeks ago had been taken out of Derby consideration, and then middle of last week or so, the determination that, you know, should it become possible to get in, that they would participate. No rider will, he joins a couple of others, just mentioned the situation with Noble Indy, Dwayne Lucas as well, yet to confirm a rider for Bravazo. He referenced Gary Stevens, but he also mentioned that there's a lot of factors at play, et cetera, and he was not prepared. I mean, in terms of prepared to name a rider, besides Giroux and Stevens, Joel Rosario is without a Derby mount. And people are saying, oh, so-and-so has got no Derby mount. Yeah, Joel Rosario doesn't. How about a guy who's 1-1? Yeah, Joel Rosario without a mount. We'll get to that portion of discussion. There are a couple of riders that will be riding their first derbies a week from Saturday, and that includes Paco Lopez on Firenze Fire and James Graham on Lone Sailor. Jamie Spencer would have been riding his first had Gronkowski been able to participate. Everybody else has ridden a derby, and we've got not just a number of winners of derbies, but interestingly, multiple winners of derbies, including Johnny V and KD, Kent DeSormo. No news on DeSormo's circumstance, as well as who else? There's somebody else. Who else is? There's another. Oh, Mike Smith, and just one for Smith. And Victor Espinoza, of course. Yeah, there you go. I'll give you a stat that I don't know why we're reminded of it every year we come here, but Javier Castellano will participate in his 12th Kentucky Derby. Audible, unless anything goes wrong. And Javier's not only looking for his first Derby win, he'll be looking for potentially his first second-place finish in a derby or his first third-place finish. Javier Castellano, in 11 tries, has never hit the board in a Kentucky Derby. Go win a bar bet with that. I see it every year when I do these kinds of exercises in terms of looking things up, but every time I see it, I shake my head that for whatever reason, it just is. And there's some of you saying, well, he's riding for Pletcher. Well, okay, easy. Pletcher's hit. He's won a pair and he's hit the board plenty of times. It just so happens that Javier has not been a participant in those circumstances. In fact, now you're going to make me look it up. The first mount, who can remember, notably, the first mount that Javier ever had in a derby? He went on a derby favorite. Not just a derby favorite, but a horse that came into the derby looking like an absolute monster. Bellamy Road. His first derby, and he goes on a favorite, and Castellano has not been on a favorite in the Derby since. And of course, Bellamy Road got hurt. He broke a leg in there and was sidelined. Bellamy Road seventh in that Derby in 2005. And of course, you know, the with Giacomo and I'm not even going to say the name, because John White is going to be on today, and I'm not going to let John regale us with his legal jargon and the disappointment of missing the 70-1 opportunity closing argument, right? And but Bellamy Road was Castellano's first mount. Then Buona Bull, 2 years later in 07, 15th. Big truck. How about that? Is that Derek Ryan? Derek Ryan, I think, right? Is that Eric Fine? Wasn't Eric Fine? Wasn't that his horse? 18th. Discreetly Mine. And, you know, Discreetly Mine, when we bend over backwards to defend Todd Pletcher's Derby record, here's the perfect example. Here's a horse, Discreetly Mine, who really had no business in the Derby, but Todd got him there. And this is a middle distance horse. This is a 7/8 to mile and a 16th horse that Todd managed to get to the Derby for the Robshams and finished 13th. Javier was 13th on Derby Kitten. Turf horse in the Derby. Gemologist. Now, Gemologist was a fairly short price. I think he was in the, like, 7-8-1 range. I think he was under 10-1 in 2012, and he was 16th. Then he rode for Chad Brown on Normandy Invasion, finished 4th. We Miss Artie, another turf horse, 10th. Materiality, and materiality was obviously one of those could-have-been situations. Had the bad start, was down inside, what, the three-hole, didn't get a great start, and then ran a very game race to be 6th. And then Javier, 2 years ago, behind American Pharoah, 6th on Destin, and then last year, 7th on Gunavera. So the closest that Javier Castellano has had to a board hit, 4th on Normandy Invasion. Javier's been in one exotic wager in Normandy Invasion. So there you go. There's today's head-shaking stat. Let's be honest. You look at that list, how many of those horses that Javier was on, how many of them were Bellamy Road, Dromologist, Normandy Invasion, Materiality, really only 4, and Destin. I mean, Destin obviously went on to a harrowing an unbelievably harrowing beat in the Belmont. But really, who could you say what was disappointing exactly? I mean, Materiality was short on experience, was, you know, basically the magnum moon of 2015 and Justify. But really, Bellamy Road? Bellamy Road would have been an A. Gemologist, a B. Materiality, a B minus. Destin, a B minus. Gunavera, a C maybe. To pick up a piece late maybe. I don't know. Javier has not had the greatest opportunities, to be honest. But without a board hit in 11 tries. Not what you, right? You wouldn't expect it. Anyway, got sidetracked on that. I'm in the mood to be easily sidetracked. We've got a bunch of different fun conversations. I mentioned Joe Nevels for OBS coverage. Ed DeRosa and James Scully are right behind me, and they've been hosting, along with Joe Christofek. If you've been watching from 7 to 8 every morning, they're streaming a morning show. It's like The View with dweebs. With stat geeks. So we'll get the details like we did with Johnny yesterday. Opportunity, what kind of coverage and so forth to be watching for at Twin Spires and from the Brisnet team. Mike Welsh. I think Mike should be here. Is Mike here now? Mike should be here shortly. And we'll do a rundown of the weekend workouts from all over the place. We'll get situated on that front. John White, I mentioned, of course, hour 3. We'll get the latest. And there's Mike Welsh. Perfect timing. Look at that. But like I scripted it. John White, hour 3. Jeremy Plonk, countdown to the crown. And we are counting down to the crown. Literally. What else do I have? OBS. We'll talk more about that. I got a couple of interesting little side notes and bars and whatnot. I also want to get to the Woodbine opening from the weekend and some more of the weekend results that we haven't had a chance to really talk about. So let's take the first break. We're at Churchill. Mike Welch sitting across from me on a gray and drizzly cool morning in Louisville, Kentucky. Derby 144, not far away. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Riding off my thoughts of old, walking down these streets of gold.
We're back at the races, back at Churchill Downs on this Tuesday. We're a week out from Derby Week, and it's Erev Derby Week. Mike Welch of the Daily Racing Forum joins me, and we are going to look behind us back to Friday. We talked to Mike on Thursday and gave the itinerary for the way the horses were going to work before coming here. That included the Pletcher Trio, the horses other than Magnum Moon and Audible, Vino Rosso, Noble Indy, all worked, Mike, on Friday at Palm Beach Downs. And then the entire quartet of Todd Pletchers arrived here yesterday. We saw them out on the track this morning, just getting in light work. Nobody's doing too much on a wet, sealed track. Good morning, Mike Welch.
Good morning.
Mike, start out with the Palm Beach Downs, and of course, Noble Indy, the horse that's been away the longest, and then came Audible, and then from Wood Weekend, Vino Rosso.
Yeah, Noble Indy, my first question to Todd was, when's the last time you ever worked a horse three-quarters of a mile? He said he couldn't remember, but he broke out, you know, he actually was a six from the, he broke at the three-quarters in company. His company kind of disappeared a little earlier than Todd would have liked. Noble Indy went okay. I mean, the rider was kind of waiting for the company, and then Todd asked him to go on with it at about the eighth pole, and he did. It galloped out okay. I mean, the track there is very deep. You have to realize there's a big difference when you see these workout times and try to compare them between the Palm Beach Downs Training Center, and a semi-glib, it appeared, over the weekend, Churchill Downs track, where the horses were working a lot quicker. I think the way the track is at Palm Beach Downs this winter, a little deeper than usual because of the lack of rain in South Florida. I think it was a big plus for Todd. Legged up the horses, a little bit more maybe than usual. And not that Todd's horses are ever short on conditioning, but certainly could have been a plus there. So Noble Indy was good. He when he works in blinkers, he's a different horse than when he works without blinkers. And he put blinkers on for his last start in Louisiana Derby, and obviously made a difference there. He got his best buyer figure out of the race. So. The equipment change for Noble Indy, a plus. Audible, much has been made about him not being a very enthusiastic workhorse. Every clocker or workout observer that I know that watched his works prior to the Florida Derby lost because they all bet against him because he was so lackluster going in. One of his works came in company with Vino Rosso, and Vino Rosso just ran away from him very easily. That day, and then of course Vino Rosso ran back to that work winning the Wood, but I thought Audible was a lot more enthusiastic the two works I saw down there after the Florida Derby. And I asked Todd, I said, is it concern you, just kind of kiddingly, that he's working better after going not working well and then winning the Florida Derby like he did? And he says, no, I hope he has three really good works going into the Derby, and he's had two of them. They're relatively speaking good works. They're not Barbaro or those kind of things or any of the big moves we've seen before. But for him, relatively speaking, they were good. So I think that's a positive sign, and we'll see what happens here when he gets over this strip on Friday. I believe that's the schedule right now, and. Vino Rosso, first work back after the Wood, was an easy half mile in company, but he was in company with a good horse, Outplay, who came back off a layoff, won an allowance race by half a pole down there on Florida Derby Day, and he's going to run in the Churchill Downs Sprint. And he was head-to-head with them all the way, both of them in hand. It was a good move for Vino Rosso, I thought, and Todd was smiling afterwards, happy after all three of them, and rightly so. So they're obviously all doing well. Coming into their last works here. Also, I stood with Todd and watched Magnum Moon gallop on Friday. Solo gallop a couple of days after getting back from Arkansas and the Arkansas Derby. And, of course, the main concern there is the last eighth of a mile or 3/16ths of a mile where he drifted pretty good finishing up the Arkansas Derby. And Todd just shook his head when I asked him about it. He says, I can't figure out what happened. He said, he's come back. We've gone over him. He's sound as can be. Obviously it's a concern if you can't put your finger on it. Luis Saez thought it was him shying from the gate a little bit. And he did seem to maybe look around some. You could see it. But there was no gate. The gate was at the eighth pole. So he still got out all the way to the wire. And obviously, there's going to be a bigger crowd and a lot more, raucous scene here. It was raucous enough at Oaklawn that day, but even more so here. And if that's part of the problem, then you've got a little problem there if he's going to do it again. You can't make that kind of mistake and win the Kentucky Derby. So some concern there for Magnum Moon, and we'll see how he'll have an easy half mile. It's only work coming out of the Arkansas Derby. I'm sure he'll go just a kind of maintenance half here on Friday also.
While we're on the Pletcher horses, some thoughts, Mike. You've had an advantage certainly over the last, how many years combined, how many years you've been in Florida?
A lot.
And how many years you've been coming to Derby?
A lot. Well, not as many as most, but this is 18, I think.
All right, so 18 years of getting the advantage of seeing the horses, particularly that's basically the span of Pletcher's career, too. And as it happens, I pulled those out, and these are the Pletcher horses from the last six Derbies. And I was trying to to latch on to a way to interpret the patterns and the, you know, the kinds of horses that Todd has brought and their performances here. How are you going to approach the Pletcher question?
You know, I can only go by what I see with these horses. You know, I mean, I liked Always Dreaming when he came in here last year. I went on record when I got here saying he's my horse. And then he had pulled his little antics here. And, you know, you got a little concerned when that occurred. And, you know, obviously Todd was too, not knowing exactly how he was going to act on Derby Day, since he had been pretty rambunctious during the week. As it turned out, he was very good on Derby Day all the way around and wound up getting a great trip and won. And, you know, like I say, they say the rest is history. So, you know, I'm just going by what I see with these horses here. They all look like they're doing well. Obviously, all four are coming off, you know, wins in major prep races. So it's a pretty strong hand Todd's got. He's had other years where he's had multiple horses, but, you know, not all serious contenders. This year he's got, you know, four, not the top contenders, but four very serious players here. I mean, all four capable of winning if everything went well. Noble Indy may be a little bit the forgotten horse out of the quartet. And numbers-wise, you know, perhaps not as fast as the others, but still, you know, you'd like to own him. You'd like to have him in here. And, you know, I think Todd's bullish on all four because, you know, four chances are better than one sometimes. Post-position draw, you know, you got one horse, you could be in big trouble. You've got four, at least you're going to come through with two or three. Maybe that'll draw well and trip out well. And as we know, the Derby is a lot about the draw and the trips too. So you got to have a really good horse and you got to have a lot of luck at the draw and during the course of the race. So Todd's got four good chances and, you know, he's got to be pretty optimistic. Right now, I mean, if you asked him, you know, and he wouldn't do it, but put a pecking order here, I'm guessing Vino Rossi Audible would be 1-2. Magnum Moon probably third now. I think maybe he was higher earlier. And perhaps Noble Indy a close fourth, but and that's just my opinion. I haven't talked to Todd about that, nor would I put him on that kind of a spot. But interesting, obviously, Johnny Velasquez had the choice between Audible, Noble Indy, and Vino Rosso, and he took Vino Rosso. And part of that could have been out of loyalty to Mike Rapoli, since I'm sorry, to Vinny Viola, since he won the Derby, you know, with a horse that Vinny owned last year in Always Dreaming. He's also obviously does a lot of riding for Mike Rapoli. So it might have been as much that as anything else. But, you know, he was there. I forget which one he worked that morning. It was at Vino Rosso Audible when Vino Rosso got the better of Audible that day easily in the workout. And, you know, maybe that went partly to his decision. You know, but riders don't always choose the right horse when they make these things too, these decisions too. So I don't know how much you can make of that, but he did have that choice. And apparently Javier, you know, I don't believe he was called after Johnny made this choice and said, do you want to ride Audible? I think he reached out after the Santa Anita race. It's from what I'm hearing. I can't substantiate that. His agent reached out and said, we'd like to ride Audible. Maybe they heard at that point he was open. Apparently he's, you know, always been a big fan of Audible, even though his works aren't, you know, one that would drive you to him. His races certainly are, and Javier was his regular rider until Florida Derby Day, and the only reason he didn't ride him Florida Derby Day was because he was in Dubai.
Right.
So that's how Johnny got that mount in the first place. So Javier very happy to be back, you know, with Audible. Again, I don't know if it's a decision based on, I think Audible has a better chance of winning the Derby than Bolt D'Oro, a decision based on, I ride a lot more during the course of the year, obviously for Todd Pletcher, than I do for Mick Ruiz. So
exactly.
I'm going to stay with my man. And I'm sure, you know, obviously Todd was very pleased to get him back.
Stylistically, before we move on to the rest of the work tab, stylistically, you've got Noble Indy and Magnum Moon that would assume will be in the forward position with any, I mean, the uniform agreement. In fact, I brought this up yesterday, noting on Twitter that, you know, with all the attention on Quip and Gronkowski coming out, one of the things that it was time to move on and realize that Quip was going to be part of the pace up front with promises fulfilled. And so Quip coming out does take at least, you know, one spark out of the pace scenario. Justify undoubtedly going to be forward, but Noble, Indy, Magnum Moon, Flameaway, those are probably the candidates to be, you know, in amongst the vying for second, third, fourth. Then you skip down. Audible looks to be, you know, kind of at the maybe at the back of that group that sits fourth, fifth, sixth. And then you would think that Vino Rosso is probably a little further, maybe mid-pack, you know, from 11 to 14. So in terms of tactical opportunity, the Pletcher horses are spread out, and that even further enhances, I think, Todd's opportunity to impact this race significantly.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure you want to be 11th to 14th. That's, you know, in the Derby, it's tough. The more traffic you have to work your way through, and the more horses you have to pass through the stretch, the more difficult it is to win the race. He's got, you know, he got back where he got back in the wood because the pace was ridiculously fast. And the same thing for the Florida Derby. I mean, Johnny made a very astute decision early to just let this horse settle back off of a ridiculously fast pace because of the speed duel up front with promises fulfilled and Strike Power, and then made a very steady, sustained run, which you don't get a lot at Gulfstream Park. And he did it on the outside. You don't see that a lot there. Now, obviously, the pace flow enhanced that kind of a performance, but still, horses don't run like that at Gulfstream too often. So, you know, this horse is obviously getting better and better, and will be interesting to see where they're placed. And a lot of the early placing, too, has to do with, you know, just the crowding and shuffling that's going to go on in the first quarter of a mile. We know the race is won and lost for a lot of horses there in that opening quarter mile if they're not already lost at the post position draw. So there'll be a lot of cringing when the number one and two come out. I think maybe more so from the Bob Baffert camp than anybody. I guarantee he doesn't want to see Justify down there on the inside at all. I think he'd rather be 19 or 20 than obviously be one or two. That's going to be a tough spot for any of these major contenders. So there'll be a lot of breath holding as the posts are drawn. You know, but when you see these horses, Magnum Moon obviously on the lead last time, and several of these others have been forwardly placed, I don't think they have the speed of Promises Fulfilled, and I'm not sure they have the speed of Justify. I think Justify, if he breaks, is going to be a clear-cut second chasing Promises Fulfilled, or potentially could be.
That's the way I saw it.
And if he's in that spot, he's probably going to be very tough to beat. I think, you know, the other 19 horses, their hopes of beating Justify is that he gets like a curling thing early where he just doesn't break real sharp and gets put in a position as a lightly raced, young, inexperienced horse that he's never been in before. I think that might be the best chance of beating the horse who probably is the most talented in the race, but you know, that's
with Mendelssohn getting
and
getting
Mendelssohn
an asterisk,
too.
Right?
You know, Mendelssohn was in front easy in the Dubai race, and that's not going to happen here either. And again, then you have to question. You know, he did come from slightly off the pace to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, so he does have that ability, but he's certainly not going to get the kind of trip that he got in the UAE Derby against an overmatched field on a speed favoring track. And therein lies, you know, it's funny. I've seen a lot of different numbers, you know, figure guys giving different numbers to Mendelssohn. And depending on whose figures you look at, his number for the UAE Derby was comparable to Justify and Audible in these or way faster. But my thinking is he's not going to run that kind of number again because he's not going to get that kind of a setup. So, you know, I respect Aidan O'Brien immensely, obviously. But I'm just kind of against Mendelssohn here because he's going to be overbet. And, again, he's just not going to get the setup that he got when he ran such a big fig in the, as Andy Beyer would say, in the UAE Derby.
And we had Andy explain how the figure was derived, actually, during the visit here after the World Cup. Let's stick with the Florida Derby exiters for a second as we work chronologically, Mike, to the works that we've seen from Friday through today. And Hofberg, and to the credit, the unending credit of ExpressBet Television, XBTV, sending a crew to Payson Park and getting through those gates, not easy. And Hofberg's work visually kind of left people a little, I don't say mystified.
Well, let's not forget he had two works up there.
Yep.
And XBT was not there for the first one, but the Daily Racing Form was there for the first one. And it was very impressive. I mean, he worked with Good Samaritan. He definitely got the better of Good Samaritan that day. So that's significant. Galloped out well. Looked very good. For his last work now, that I only saw on the tape, but you can get a pretty good read from that. And again, I do salute XBET TV for the work they've done. He got a little schooling, got put in behind an unidentified mate at the time who has now been identified. And he came inside and either couldn't or wouldn't go by the workmate who is an unraced 3-year-old filly. So whether he couldn't or he wouldn't, neither is a positive sign. But it may lead, you know, Bill to instruct his rider, let's not go inside. Let's come around horses as he did in the Florida Derby. He just, you know, he's kind of inexperienced too, even though he started as a 2-year-old, so it doesn't put him in the Apollo curse, you know, camp. He's only had 3 starts himself. So, and, you know, his trip in the Florida Derby was an outside trip, you know, behind the winner, behind Audible. He made a pretty good run, came up a little short, but it was certainly the best race of his career. He looks like a horse at the distance, shouldn't be a problem. Again, big positive vibes off that first work at Payson, not so positive off the second. Be interesting to see what kind of vibes we get when he works here, I assume, on Sunday. And we'll see what kind of situation Bill puts him in when he works him, if it's a company drill, who he puts him with, and if he does try to school him and have him come inside again, or if he puts him on the outside and lets him be a little more comfortable. So mixed reactions on the two works by Hofberg. The one thing about Hofberg that, you know, in my opinion is, with his inexperience, with his running style, just with everything, I know he's kind of a bit of a buzz horse. He's going to be a big price. I think a lot of people are going to throw him in, you know, their gimmicks, and I can understand why. And if the race pace scenario sets up and he could trip out, he might be able to grab a piece in here. But I think his future is maybe further down the road, maybe like a race like the Belmont.
Turn to arriving here, Mike, on Saturday, and we I actually got within reach, and once I saw that I could get here for the training session, made it to Louisville at about 5:30 on Saturday morning, and it was, frankly, with the weather that we've had subsequently, it ends up being pretty valuable because particularly the Dale Roman's horses, the two Derby runners, Free Drop and Promises, as well as the under-the-radar Coach Rocks, who more and more I didn't expect to have to consider her seriously in the Oaks, but after watching her Saturday and watching her tear ass around here every morning, she's kind of tough to not take a hard look at. But Flame Away as well, Monomoy Girl, let's talk about what we saw Saturday.
Well, I was not here Saturday, so I've seen several of these works on tape. I've seen a lot of the Roman's horses, obviously, all winter long, and starting with Coach Rocks. I mean, she just improved her last several works down there. You know, she won the maiden race on the lead against just an average-looking field. She worked absolutely terrific going into the Florida Oaks. I was still skeptical, though, especially since her one big race came on the lead. I knew there was a lot of speed in the Florida Oaks. I didn't think she would get the lead so readily. And I was, you know, frankly concerned that she couldn't win without the lead in there, even though she had worked spectacularly. And then she just threw in a freakish race from off the pace. I mean, she ran like a wild horse the last quarter of a mile. just kept coming and coming. Again, that outside trip you don't see there, the off-the-pace trip. Granted, the pace was a little quick in there, but not anything, you know, crazy. And I just thought she ran terrific. And now she comes back with the work, watching it on tape. You know, it was, you know, replicated her final work going into the Florida Derby, the Gulfstream Park Oaks. So you have to think this horse is on top of her game right now. She's back over, you know, her home course, so to speak, although she only she actually has never run over the main track here. She actually ran on turf here. But Dale was always really high on this horse. He thought, you know, every time I ran her at two, he told me I thought she would win, and I was shocked she didn't. Well, now she's in that mode. She's never been better, and I think if she can run back to her last race, she could certainly win here, because I don't think, you know, the favorites, even though there are two clear-cut favorites in the Oaks, I don't think they stand out to the point where you'd be reluctant to try to beat them with a horse that might be a little bit of a price and a horse that's doing good like Coach Rocks.
She, and it's funny because you brought up the point that, and I shared this with Roddy Valenti on Saturday morning, that Tammy Fox, who is a naturally lightweight jock, Tammy worked, and of course Tammy has worked a lot of the big Romans Derby Oaks horses, Shackelford notably and others, and when she's on there as opposed to an exercise rider or a full-fledged afternoon jock, there's a significant weight difference too. I mean, and for her to go around, she went 11-3, 22-4, 34-4, 46-3, 59-flat, and then galloping out after it was a 5-furlong work, and actually, it might have been a half mile work for 46-3. She added a 5th furlong in 59, and then a double out in 111-4. And then every morning since, she's been out 2 mornings in a row. She's just go, not in a bad way.
No. We saw the same thing from her in her last two works before the Gulfstream Park Oaks. And Roddy asked me, "What do you think of her?" And I told him the same thing. I said, she's working terrific. Sometimes when Tammy works them, they fool you a little bit because they're carrying, you know, I don't know, 90. I'm not sure what she weighs. She's a great rider.
I'll take the under.
She's a great rider, but sometimes that could make a difference, you know, when they're working like that, as opposed to even when they have a jock on, it's maybe 110. That's 20 pounds. but she just looks happy and she's certainly at the peak of her game. You know, from the buyer numbers, she's not close to Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bisou. But, you know, the sheet numbers are a little different from her last race because she had that wide trip. And you get a little extra credit when you make a wide run like that, to me, at Gulfstream Park and just pull away like she did. I mean, it wasn't the greatest field in the world, but she did beat Take Charge Paula, who had a terrific trip. And was no match for her on the last eighth of a mile. And Take Charge Paula, I believe, is coming here to run. Kieran hadn't made the final decision, but significant in her last work, they put blinkers on her, and she worked against Enticed. And, you know, I thought she was as good as Enticed in the work. I mean, Enticed beat her, but Enticed was being asked, and Take Charge Paula was sitting kind of chilly in that work. But Coach Rocks, to me, boy, if you can get 8 or 10 to 1, I'm not sure what you're going to get. If everybody that owns a piece of this horse from West Point bets on her, she might be the favorite. But if you saw that winner's circle picture, I mean, I never saw so many people in the winner's circle before. There was Roddy, Rick Pitino, and 100 West Point owners, I think. But, you know, I got to give her a big shot. She looks like she's doing great, and the value should be there.
Since you mentioned Monomoy Girl, and, you know, a guy from New England should have no trouble with Monomoy out on the Cape. a very nice work, nice enough work. It looked like she. It's funny. I've kind of reevaluated live. It looked like she was working to get past the workmate, but she did finish up well.
Finished up well. It didn't look like she had a lot of gallop out after the original gallop out. She went to the 7/8 pole and then kind of eased up. But I've been watching some of Brad Cox's workers in the morning, and some tend to do that, and I don't know if it's by design or not, but, you know, with her, you know, you normally you would say, you know, she's a need the lead type filly looking at her races, and there's a lot of speed in here. But then you go back to her race in the Rachel Alexander, and I guess she missed the break a little bit and came from off the pace and was able to win, but you know, maybe just was better, you know, just so much better than those, although Classy Act and Wonder Godot are, you know, going to be contenders in here. But her last race, whatever, you know, the numbers she got a career best buyer, 95. She did that with a perfect pace setup, and chances are she's not going to get the perfect pace setup, so she might regress off her numbers there, and maybe some of the others can catch up with her with a little better trips. So we'll see. You know, I'll be interested to see her final work in person here. I'm not sure. I guess it'll be Saturday as well.
Well, she went in 12-2, 11-4, 11-4, 11-2 for a 47-2 half mile, and then galloped out another furlong, 12-2. So a swift and even set of fractions for Monomoy Girl. Let's turn our attention to the boys. And we had the two Dale Roman's horses, and not only will Dale tell you how great his horses are coming into the race, he'll tell you how great they did in the works. And Free Drop Billy and Promises Fulfilled did basically what Dale was looking for, and Promises Fulfilled, everybody seems to feel that he's going to absolutely be flying up on the front end.
He's got to. I mean, he's got no chance other than that. You know, you want to try to scare off the other speed, as Dale tried to do before the Florida Derby, and it didn't work. You know, he said, I'm going to the lead. You want to run with me, you're going to be in trouble. And it turned out he was right, because the horse that ran with him, it was a Strike Power, stopped just as badly as Promises Fulfilled did. And I don't think you want to get into that game with him here. I mean, Dale's only chance for Promises Fulfilled to win or hit the board is to get loose on the lead and relax like he did in the Fountain of Youth. So, you know, you tell everybody I'm going to the lead, and you better stay away from me, and maybe it'll work here. The one thing that concerned me a little bit watching the tape of the work the other day is he did seem to get out a little bit coming into the stretch, and then he got tired. I mean, he was kind of full of himself. And I've seen him all winter, and he's a fast workhorse. So fast horses work fast, and he's a fast horse. He worked terrific, though, going into the Fountain of Youth. I had all B pluses on him, and anybody with the clock report might have made a little hit there. But I didn't like his works coming out of it. I think I went on record as saying his last workout, I think the comment was not as sharp as before the Fountain of Youth, coming out of the Fountain of Youth. And, you know, then he got hooked on the lead, and that was the end of that. So I don't see him as a contender here, but I do see him as the speed of the speed in the race. And Free Drop Billy's always been a pretty good workhorse too, but that work was impressive the other day. The gallop out, you know, that's what I like to see here. Horses that gallop out a long ways afterward without being asked too much to do so, and that's what he seemed to do. He's obviously talented. He's been stuck in a little bit of a rut. I mean, I know in the Bluegrass, you know, he was going to be third, no doubt about it. He didn't have the best of trips. That was his best race, I think, by far since coming back, and he's probably going to move forward off of that race. I could see him, you know, grabbing a piece of the pie here. You know, if he gets around clean and he could, you know, without Sporting Chance in his way, you know, Sporting Chance has gotten him twice. You know, he got him in the Hopeful and he got him again in the Bluegrass. But, you know, that was an encouraging work. We'll see if he comes back and reproduces that here next weekend.
Well, and it should be noted, I'll give everybody the numbers, because it was, I thought, for anybody that is hoping that there's going to be pace, I mean, that's one thing you're going to need if you're a longtime believer in Free Drop Billy going back to last year. The numbers, 12-1, 23-3, 35 flat, and then 46-4. They passed the wire, 59 flat, and then out in 112, and then a double gallop out of 125-4. And as you said, all the way back onto the backstretch. And what is also notable, he didn't do that as a once-around work. He galloped a full mile before he broke off for the work.
Yeah, well, I guess he's fit.
You have to worry about that. Free Drop Billy, And you know what? With all the horses that have come in over the years with Dale that have had mojo and steam and anything else, it would be just like Dale to have an impactful Derby moment with a horse that was kind of post-hype. Let's talk about a horse that has wormed his way into the hearts of horse players and certainly wormed his way through the wallets of some horse players, Flame Away, and just a minute and a fifth work the other morning. But I thought it was notable, his first significant morning on the racetrack, a wet sealed track, Mike. And this morning, he had by far the most spirited gallop of the morning down on the rail, and he kind of was tearing around the turn.
Yeah, he wanted a 2-minute lick. I picked him up at the top of the stretch and then put the watch on him from the wire out. I think John had him at the top of the stretch doing 15s, and then I picked him up at the wire, and he was doing 15s, but purposely down on the inside.
Yeah.
The rider knowing that the horse was going to be moving a lot better than everybody else.
Chris Garraway is his regular exercise rider.
So, no, he looked good coming out of the work the other day. I mean, this is a horse that shows up every single time, and, you know, he beat Vino Rosso pretty handily in Tampa when they met there, but I'm not sure if Vino Rosso either didn't like the track or just got down on the rail, which was might have been the deeper part of the track at the Tampa Bay Derby. But, you know, he shows up, like I said, he shows up every time. He's going to be forwardly placed, you know, the mile and a quarter. I don't, you know, at the end of these races, he seems to have a little hang in him. But, you know, he's doing well, and he looks good today, so we got to respect him anyway.
And what you have to remind people of, and
his numbers are slow, though. I mean, on numbers, he's got to really move forward to catch these other horses, a lot of these other horses.
What he clearly has in his favor is the theory and the experience that says horses that are among the top four at the eighth pole, typically two or three of them will be in the superfecta. There may be horses come that clunk up. If there's a meltdown, obviously that gives horses from off the pace and well off the pace the chance. However, invariably, if you're first, second, third at the eighth pole, you're going to get a significant check in this race, if not 60% of the purse. And it every indication Flame Away is given is that he will be in the top three at the eighth pole. And whether that last eighth is going to be the difference between what we saw at Tampa and at Keeneland and what we're going to see here. I mean, he comes in, this is his 10th career start. I mean, he's the most experienced horse in the field.
My boy Jack
has got what?
10.
Oh, so one more. He's got, well, I forgot about my boy Jack.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I you got to respect this horse. Like I said, from a figure standpoint, he's really a notch below
he's
most
three,
of
these. Three, four lengths behind the top
at least,
the top players.
At least. So we'll see. We'll see. There's going to be a lot of horses that are going to be trying to be 1, 2, 3 at the eighth pole here. And, again, that first run to the first turn, I mean, who knows where a lot of these guys are going to wind up when they make that spin into the clubhouse turn after getting through all that traffic early.
One of the interesting things that happens, and I've cautioned to some degree on getting too familiar with the field before it firms up, and one of the things starting on Saturday was notable was that all the Asmussen horses that were training during the session, Mike, 7:30 to 7:45, and at the time it included Snapper Sinclair and Combatant and Reride and Dream Baby Dream, and as of that Saturday morning, nobody was in the Derby, and now here we are with Combatant in, Snapper Sinclair back under consideration by Bloom Racing, and I don't think there's a potential for, I mean, a lot of things that have to go wrong for Reride or Dream Baby Dream, but the first of the Asmussen horses that gets in is Combatant, and this is a horse that was sort of anticipated to be a closing type, a creator type, him and Zing Zang. But yet, when we got to a mile and an eighth, the two of them, it didn't make any difference in their impact in the prep season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the pace scenario in the Derby will be a lot more conducive, I guess, to combatant than it was in the Arkansas Derby. But, you know, we were both watching him. I never really saw much of him before Gallup by here the other day, and he looks more like a horse that might want to be on the turf eventually. And, of course, he is by Scat Daddy, and his first first inclination was to put him on the grass because that's where he ran originally. But, you know, goal of any owner and trainer with a three-year-old that looks like he has some ability is to put him on the dirt then and see if he has a chance to make it into the Derby. And lo and behold, here he is. So if he runs 6th, 8th, 12th in the year, I wouldn't be shocked to see him on the turf next time. You know, he's going to be a big, big price in here. There's no doubt about that. And if he impacts at all, it'll be probably in one of the minor awards and probably a surprise to a lot of people.
We did watch Reride. He drilled the other morning. And
more or less. That was more of just a maintenance, get him
around
there.
Which is a typical little Asmussen.
Yeah, I mean, this horse, you know, first work back since, you know, making the trip to Dubai and back. It's not surprising. He did very little with him. And I'm not sure what his plan is with the horse, assuming he doesn't get into the Derby. But, you know, obviously no match for Mendelsohn over there. Even finished behind the filly for second, that's going to run in the Oaks. But
we'll get to her.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we're going to see him. I haven't really looked into that, assuming that he doesn't get in the Derby field.
Blamed worked, and then we saw Joel Marr later in the morning, actually, at Wagner's, and the Sunland filly, a nice, easy 101 and one. Five furlongs, looking kind of maintenancey. Then on Sunday, Mike, is a couple of other spots, and notably Patrona Margarita for Brett Calhoun, who already has a fairly strong hand, or at least is going to be a big part of the field for the Oaks. Patrona Margarita is now going to participate. She originally had come off the list, and now she's back on and a part of the Oaks festivities.
Yeah, she looked good the other day. I thought she finished up okay going easy, and then she had a lot of energy on the gallop out again, which I like to see. The two Calhoun horses certainly complement each other. One's going to be, you know, somewhere on or near the
That's
pace.
Classy Act.
And yes, Classy Act, and the other is going to come from behind. So he's got that 1-2 thing going for him there. The horse, one thing about Patrona Margarita, she obviously likes this racetrack, so that's a bit of a plus, too. You know, I could see her getting a piece if things go right during the course of the race and the pace gets a little hectic, which it could. I mean, Blamed looks like she's a speed horse. Classy Act's a speed horse. We already spoke about Brad Cox's filly. You know, she's kind of wants to be up front. So
Take Charge Paul is a presser?
Yeah, Take Charge Paul or two. I mean, I'm not so sure she wants to go a mile and an eighth just watching her races. Maybe the blinkers will make an impact there. Kieran was not 100% sure he was going to keep the blinkers on her for the race or not, but she'll have one more work down there on Thursday. I will guess that the Xbet TV people will get down there and have that for us, and I will guess he'd probably work her back again with Entice before they both ship up here. So we'll see what ultimately happens, but you know, Mike, he's got her nominated to the Eight Bells, or he's said, I think she is nominated to the Eight Bells, but I think he's leaning toward running her in here and probably will run her with blinkers.
One quick note in talking about Classy Act for Brett Calhoun, that's one of the Carl Moore horses, and was bred by George Krikorian. And those of you may have seen that on Saturday, I made a little tweet note after Hollywood Strike, the five-year-old, beautifully bred, the Smart Strike, five-year-old out of Hollywood Story, who may be my favorite filly, one of my favorite fillies of all time, and of course trained by John Sheriffs. And Krikorian has sent Hollywood Strike to Michael Matz, and in his first start in the East after going 0-13. And recently was gelded, Hollywood Strike finally breaks his maiden. I just was happy, and when I saw Krikorian's name, I had a mental note to mention that the five-year-old gelding finally breaks through. And anything that enhances Hollywood Story's broodmare career is fine with me. In addition, Mike, as we look through some of the other workers, and you mentioned the the Dubai filly that's now in the care of Bob Baffert. And when I was in California the Monday after the Santa Anita Derby, just so happened we were doing the Baffert recap after the win by Justify, and I mentioned Raya, and he said she's on the track for the first time today, right now, in fact, and he pointed her out. She's a tiny thing, and in the meantime, the work over the weekend, she and Justify both worked, but Raya worked with no less than Abel Tasman, and despite being, I don't know, having who knows how many feet less of a coverage when she runs, she was keeping up nicely with Abel Tasman and gave Abel everything she could handle.
Yeah, I mean, she's an interesting filly in here. You know, first time in Bob Baffert's hands, you got to expect she's capable of moving forward. She obviously has some talent, so, you know, we'll see. I mean, my lone regret here is that Bob decided not to come here this year early, so we can't get a first-hand look of these fillies, these three-year-olds of his before the Derby, other than galloping when they finally arrive next week. So, you know, Bob, in my memory, has never done this before. He's always gotten his horses to Churchill early and get races in over the track, works in over the track. So this is a different scenario for him for whatever reason he chose. I think he was concerned a little bit about the weather, but, you know, I said the weather in Louisville's been the same for the last 20 years, and the weather in California's been the same for the last 20 years, you know, potentially, and he's always come and liked to be here early and liked to get over the track with the work. So we're not really going to get to see them firsthand. So other than galloping, again, I obviously can't wait to get a look at Justify firsthand, but his final work is going to be out there as well, as will Solomini's.
In fact, we're going to talk to Scully and DeRosa in a little bit, and James and I were kind of kicking that around, the change-up of Baffert not being on hand. Before any of us got here, the work by Tom Amos and Mrs. Benson's Lone Sailor caught everybody's attention, and John Nichols was sought out by observers for some thoughts on the 57 and change work by Lone Sailor. Meanwhile, Amos has an equally long-priced horse that hit a walk-off home run, basically, to get to the Oaks, and that was Chocolate Martini. And coming out of an allowance win, a horse that actually he claimed off of Brett Calhoun for Double Doors Racing, Chocolate Martini, a broken vow filly, and she comes out of that Fairgrounds Oaks upset, and she worked on Sunday.
Yeah, she worked over the wet track, and actually, didn't she
yesterday.
Work Monday?
Yes, yesterday.
She worked over the wet track, didn't ask her to do much. She was cautiously handled. So hard to make a real assessment out of that. She went 103 and something, did it, you know, in hand with a workmate. The workmate actually galloped out about a length better than her. So, you know, I just guess he feels that she doesn't need to do all that much here. And she's in good form. Yeah, they've hit a home run with that claim. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, this is a significant step up, I think, you know, going in against the heavy heads in here. So we'll see.
My couple of short strokes, and obviously we'll update more as the week goes on and as we get into the last series of works. But some initial impressions before we go. My Miss Lily arrived from Mark Hennig, and Good Magic came over from for Chad Brown and has made an immediate positive impression.
Yeah, I mean, they both look fine. My Miss Lily obviously has improved rapidly. Come on, and I've been a little bit better than I expected she would be, and I suppose, you know, obviously if she repeats that, you know, last performance, she could be a factor in the Oaks. And Good Magic, you know, a disappointment in the Fountain of Youth off some terrific works, a much improved effort in the Bluegrass. The one thing about him in the Bluegrass, though, and it was a good race, but at the top of the stretch, I thought he was going to pull away from Flame Away and win by a couple of lengths. And I don't know if it's a credit to Flame Away or Good Magic just kind of flattened out a little bit. But, you know, he's had to work hard to finally prevail by the margin that he did. And it's probably an indication, too, that, you know, that was his second start back. It was much better than his first, and his third start, which comes in the Derby, could possibly be his best yet. I have a tremendous respect for Good Magic. Watching a tape of his work the other day, he looked very good. He galloped out strong. The rider had trouble pulling him up, which is a positive sign. So I'm anxious to see if he could do that, if he does that again here when he works, I assume, here on Saturday as well.
Well, Mike Welch, as always, we appreciate it. And I should ask way in advance, the Oaks Derby weekend package will start Thursday afternoon?
Available? No, Friday and Saturday. It'll be ready. I mean, the Oaks one hopefully will have even ready by Wednesday. The entries are going to be drawn earlier this year, Monday for the Oaks, Tuesday for the Derby. So I'm guessing we'll have the Oaks report up on Wednesday and the Derby report up by Thursday for sure. And we will do all the undercard races as well. We've got a team. We've got clockers at Keeneland. We've got a clocker at Santa Anita. And I've got Dave Grenning back in New York before he leaves to be on Friday. He might see a few of the undercard races as well as I think Friends Fire is still back there to work one more time. So we'll have reports there. And I've been coming out in the mornings here now trying to not only see the Derby horses but get as many of the horses that will end up on the Friday and Saturday cards, get one or at least one and hopefully two looks at some of them.
Affectionately known as the Teppan Watch, where you never know when a Teppan is going to show up on the radar screen out of nowhere.
We've had some good
against
success.
Danzig Moon that day.
Yeah, we've had some success with not only that, but with some of the other undercard
Absolutely.
Races, even some of the maiden races. We've had some, you know, good reports, and not only from here, but you know, we had guys at Keeneland that came up with some good stuff too over the last couple of years. So hopefully that trend will continue. And you know, all it takes is one or hopefully two or three, and it could lead to a pretty good day. And you know, hopefully we can enhance everybody's bankroll before they get to the Derby, so they could run it up in the Derby.
Exactly, run up the score, and you score out when you get a chance to hear Mike Welch and the workout analysis. Gary Young will be folded in when he comes up from Ocala. And speaking of Ocala, Joe Nevels is going to join us next, DRF, of course, on the Bloodstock side, and we'll talk to Mike later in the week. We're live at Churchill Downs, going to get Joe Nevels, talk about the OBS sale, which starts in about 15 minutes, and DeRosa and Scully live after that, then John White, Jeremy Plonk, and it feels like we've shifted in to Derby gear here at the Downs. Back after this into Hour 2.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.